Returning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, excuse me, chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're only going to read one verse this morning. It is verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now you'll notice the next word, the first word of verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, of all the teaching that our Lord has given here in the sixth chapter concerning praying, concerning fasting, concerning giving, concerning our treasure, and concerning our serving, is now summed up in the following words, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you. But we need to examine this thought of serving from this 24th verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you now that thou wilt open our hearts, give us an understanding of thy word, search us through thy holy scriptures, and cause us, our Father, not only to have right theory concerning the word of God, but a life that is conformed to it. We pray, giving you thanks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord has a twofold purpose here in his great sermon. First, he is teaching us how to separate the precious from the vile. He told Jeremiah this. Jeremiah complained to the Lord. And in chapter 15 of Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, if you're able to separate the precious from the vile, then you shall be a witness, and you shall speak with my mouth. And God is teaching us as his children to separate the precious from the vile by the sharp distinctions that he draws. The distinctions here are very sharp. He draws a sharp line between the false and the true. He discriminated between two kinds of worshipers, the genuine and the hypocrite. And the worshipers are seen in those who pray, those who give, and those who fast. And he warns us, don't be like the hypocrite, to be genuine. Furthermore, he distinguished between two kinds of treasures. Earthly treasure, which will pass away, and eternal treasure, heavenly treasure, which shall endure. Our Lord differentiated between two eyes, or two wisdoms. Or true wisdom, the single eye and the evil eye. And now our Lord opposes two masters. He presents himself, setting God over against the God of this world, mammon. Now that word mammon stands for those who worship at the shrine that a man's life consists of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Our Lord in the 12th chapter of Luke said just the opposite. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Now there is always in Christ's teaching a line between the regenerate and the unregenerate. The unregenerate are they who are lost. They have never been born of God. There is a difference between those who are born of God and those who have not been born of God. And our Lord draws the line between the mere professor and the genuine possessor of eternal life. So that's the first purpose of our Lord. There's a second purpose. Our Lord is also seeking his hearers to keep from the spirit of covetousness, or setting their affections upon the things of time and sense. What our Lord is saying is, don't make material things your chief aim, your chief good. because earthly treasure has a perishing nature to it. It will pass away. Now, because earthly treasure captures the heart, the natural man, he says, well, I can handle it. It's like the alcoholic who says, I can leave drink alone, you know. And he only shows how foolish he is by his statement. And I'm not saying you have to leave money alone. Don't get me wrong. Our Lord never said that either, as we'll notice. But we have an idea that money can't capture the heart. But the Word of God tells us just the opposite. It can. And we can worship at its shrine if we're not careful. Our Lord says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will despise the one and love the other. Now, simply put, if God is not our Father, the world and its representative, Mammon, will be. And they are diametrically opposed. That's what our Lord is saying here. You see, our Lord is gracious. He knows what things we need. He knows what we need. And he promises in the next section of Matthew 6, he promises that if God so clothes the grass of the field, isn't he able to take care of you? Why take ye thought for tomorrow? And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What our text is really giving us, first of all, is the condemnation of a divided heart. The condemnation of a divided heart. And we have to examine ourselves. You know, preaching on these texts by our Lord is not easy preaching. And it's difficult studying. When I say difficult studying, I have to examine my own heart in the presence of God. And that's what makes studying a good thing. Well, when you take a passage like this, and we're dealing that which is close to home, it's that with which you're made out of everyday stuff. And we have to examine ourselves, am I living what I'm preaching? That is what is most important. And what I'm going to say now is, he who has his eye partly on God and partly on self, desiring to and endeavoring to grasp the best of both worlds, that is where I have to examine my own heart. What is my relationship to the Lord in relation to the two masters? Since no man can serve two masters, who do I really want to serve? And I tell you, from the heart, my heart cries out, I want to serve the Lord. I want to bring honor and glory to him. But I find often that my mind is dwelling on money, on how to do this and how to do that. And I find that in my own soul, I wonder, how is this going to take place? You see, I cannot deceive my own soul when it comes to this. I cannot have my eye partly on the things of God and partly on the things of the world, endeavoring to get the best of both. You see, the problem is the person who has his eye partly on God and partly on the world is in danger of missing both. Because this world passes away and all the lusts thereof, all the desires of it pass away. And if I'm living for this world, I need to be very careful as to whether I have ever been regenerated by God to be sure of this. And here's one of the ways that I can tell whether I'm truly born of God. You see, the wisdom of Solomon was manifested. God came to Solomon and he said, ask anything that you'd like and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, oh, give me wisdom. And it wasn't long after he was given wisdom that two prostitutes appeared before him. And they carried one baby between them. Now, each one had given birth to a child about the same time. But the one, through carelessness, laid on her child. She fell asleep. And the child died. And then she took the dead child and put it to the other woman, and she took the other woman's living child and put it to her. So in the next morning, they realized, or the woman who was the mother of the living child, she realized what her other person, what the other person had done. And they fought over it. So they took it to Solomon, and they said, now you decide whose it is. And you see, the wisdom of Solomon needs to be considered. For in the wisdom of Solomon, he differentiated between quantities and entities. And there's such a difference. A quantity can be divided, and you don't spoil it. For instance, you can take a dollar. A dollar is a quantity. You can divide it 100 ways. You can divide it 4 ways. You can divide it 2 ways. You can divide it 10 ways. You can divide it 20 ways. And you don't spoil it. It's a quantity. You take a bottle of milk, you can divide it any way you like. And you don't spoil it by dividing it. But there are some things, the moment you try to divide them, an entity you can't divide without spoiling it. My watch is not a quantity. This watch is an entity. You take a sword and go down through the watch, and you have no watch. You see, it's not a quantity. It's an entity. Or Solomon said concerning the baby, bring me a sword, and I'll divide the child and give half to each one. The whole problem is one half baby plus one half baby equals no baby. You follow what I'm saying? Our Lord is saying to his own, you can't have a divided heart toward me. You can't serve two masters. Your soul can't be in fellowship with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with me at the same time. It's either one or the other. You choose who you're going to serve. You can't serve two. You can't serve Mammon, the god of this age, and you cannot serve me at the same time. You see, a man's affections cannot be divided. Now, in the case of Solomon, when Solomon called for the sword, the woman to whom the child belonged said, let her have the child. Don't slay the child. The other woman said, who lost her child, divide the baby. Solomon said, no, we don't. She's the mother. Oh, what wisdom. What wisdom. Now, friends, when it comes to our relationship to the Lord, you cannot serve two masters. I didn't say it. God said it. Our Lord, in his first great sermon, he says it. Now, our affections cannot be divided. If I attempt to love the things of the world as well as love God, I hear James speaking in James chapter 4, verse 4, and he says, I will fail in my love for God. Why? Because the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I didn't write that, friends. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God is, through the person of Christ here, he's calling upon us to separate the precious from the vile. He says you cannot serve two masters. Therefore, the desire of the believer should be that which was the psalmist in the 123rd Psalm. We all know the 23rd Psalm. How about Psalm 123? Read it with me, will you? Psalm 123. So you'll always be able to remember this, because of its number. Instead of being 23, it's 123. And we'll read the first two verses of Psalm 123. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. our affections are where? They're toward the Lord, our God. The condemnation of a divided heart. But there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the person who is in Christ Jesus is the person whose heart God has captured by divine love and brought that person to saving faith. Now, let us look second at the condition for serving God. You see, to serve God in our text, you cannot serve two masters. And serving God in our text is the same thing as laying up treasure in heaven that we studied previously back in verse 20. For the divine appointment of true happiness can only be found in serving God. Now, the person who has made this appointment to lay up treasure in heaven and to enable us to serve God also has designed the means by which we may attain unto this happiness. And our Lord has designed the means. Ha! No man can serve two masters. He has given us an insight into himself as a gracious master. That word serve there is an interesting word. It doesn't, the Greek word doesn't mean an occasional act. No, the Greek word is a bondslave, a person who is a slave and the property of a master. It is the same word that is found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For before I was saved, sin was my master, and I was a bondservant to it. You see, but now through the work of Christ, we no longer serve sin. And that's the word that our Lord uses here. You see, no man can serve two masters. Also, it is the same word that's found in Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, where we read that we should serve in new life of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. We serve in the new life of the Spirit. Now, in our text in Matthew 6, not only are we impressed with the word serve, but we are impressed by the word other. In the Greeks had two words for other. If one meant other of the same kind, and the other Greek word, heteros, it means another of a different kind. And when our Lord says, either you will hate the one and love the other, it is the other of a different kind. The two masters are totally different. They're totally different. When I served sin, that was one thing, but all the blessedness of serving the Savior. Now, there are times, and I want to say this, I want you to think at least that I'm balanced. There are times, you see, when a person can truly serve one master and still serve other masters. There are. And I want you to think. In Ephesians chapter 6, you check on it when you get home, God has a word for those who serve masters, slaves. He says, don't serve with eye service. In other words, when you go to work, don't just work when the boss is looking. That's eye service. But labor as under the eye of God. And there's nothing wrong with being a servant in a mill, or being a servant in an office. You see, when we serve, we are serving as unto the Lord. My, what a lesson. You see, but all the while we serve someone else, we are in service to whom? This one master that I got that day that I was saved as a citizen of the United States. Were I to be enlisted in one way or another in one of the armed forces. I am a servant to the president of the country. But at the same time, if I'm a buck private in the army, I'm a servant to generals, lieutenant generals, and all the way down to corporals, you see. But above the president of the United States would be a far greater master who should control the basic issues of life and the determining of priorities. Why am I here, and why do I make the decisions I make? And behind it, we have the God whom we love and serve, who has saved us by his master's grace. You cannot serve two masters. Yet when a person serves the best of masters, the Lord of glory, many times there are other servants down the line that he serves. In other words, the Word of God tells us to submit ourselves one to another. And one of the greatest words in the church today is the word accountability. We are accountable one to another as the children of God under the service of our blessed Lord. Now the condition for serving is that of love. For the servant is one who serves out of genuine love. Our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. But you see in our text, there are contrary affections toward the masters. Either we will love the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Now, let us look quickly at the consequences of serving mammon. It's very important. Mammon here is opposed to God. Mammon in our text speaks of the God of riches, the prince of this world, and it speaks of the love of this world. In Galatians 6, the Apostle Paul, at the close of the letter to the Galatians, he said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, Christ and the world stand in opposite in that text. And the world appears in the text as a great prince that can bestow great gifts and great honors. But Paul said, I prefer the cross of Christ. Like Moses of old, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed something. He esteemed the reproach of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, mammon signifies the God of riches, the prince of this world, and the love of this world, its pleasures and its treasures, which is really at the service of Satan. You see, it's impossible to serve two masters because it's impossible to serve two gods. And our Lord said to the Apostle John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, mammon is a great lord in the world. And our Lord is warning us against the same. Oh, mammon is a great lord. Now, there are many who argue that riches cannot be a god to them. But remember that men of corrupt hearts, unless the heart has been renewed through the work of the Spirit of God, men of corrupt hearts make idols out of that upon which they set their love. And you set your love on gain, on money, you make an idol out of it. It becomes that which gets the greatest of your energies and the most of your desires. But you set your heart on the God of the Bible, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who gets the affection of your heart and the expression of your desires. This is why the love of money is called idolatry in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Just a few things very quickly in closing. First, the orders of the two masters are diametrically opposed. You can't serve two masters. They're diametrically opposed. You see, the one commands you to walk by faith, the other by sight. The one commands humility, the other encourages pride. And the Word of God says, pride is one of the things that God hates. The one commands us to set our affections on things above. The other commands us to set our affections on things on the earth. Diametrically opposed. The one asks us to look at the things which are not seen. They're eternal. The other says, just look at all around you. The things that are seen are the most important. You see, the orders of the two masters are diametrically opposed. The second thing is this. Our Lord is here teaching us that in order to serve God acceptably, we must cleave to Him, both in the affections of the heart, to say and say it honestly, Lord Jesus, I love you, I know you're mine, and also in the activities and the obedience of our lives. The affections of the heart, the obedience of the life. One more question. Who's your master? Who are you serving? There's a hymn in our hymn books. We're not going to sing it. I'm going to read it. I invite you to turn to it. The reason I'm doing it is I wouldn't inflict this on someone because it has a very tricky tempo and it is not the easiest to sing, although it's a great hymn. I want you to turn to 329. We want to read it. And you can read along as I read the words because the person who wrote this hymn certainly knew something of fellowship with the Lord and the meaning of our text. If I gained the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gained the world but had no Savior, would my gain be worth a lifelong strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Had I wealth and love in fullest measure, and a name revered both far and near, yet no hope beyond, no harbor waiting, where my storm-tossed vessel I could steer. If I gained the world but had no Savior who endured the cross and died for me, could then all the world afford a refuge, whither in my anguish I may flee? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him, only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior, when I come to die, how will it be? Oh, to face the valley's gloom without Him, and without Him, for eternity. Oh, the joy. Oh, my friend, I hope you can sing this last stanza. If you're here and you've never been born of God, oh, the joy of having all in Jesus. What a balm the broken heart to heal. Never a sin so great but He'll forgive it, nor a sorrow that He doesn't heal. If I have but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside, oh, then everything is mine in Jesus, for my needs and more. He will provide. No man can serve two masters. Who are you serving? Who's your master? Let's pray. Father, in the name of thy dear Son, a hymn like this searches our hearts. And we cry out to thee, is this reality to me? That I love you more than my checkbook? More than anything else? You and you alone are the all in all as far as we're concerned. Oh, Father, we thank you that it can be so. And we pray thee, our God, that the one whom we serve, the Lord of glory, will continuously get the affection of our hearts, for we love you and we desire to be with you and to worship you throughout all eternity. Now, our Father, take the word and bless it to every heart. And we commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.